Cobaholics. This is episode 9, part of I Need Comics at Pop Culture. See, it's because I was looking at you. I was fine until I was looking at you.
All right, we're just going to leave this here. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Cobaholics. We've already had some sips here, but we're really not that wasted, I guarantee you.
No.
But yes,
this is what happens when things are rehearsed.
No, not rehearsed.
No, improv 2 rehearsed.
No, you said this is what happens when things are rehearsed.
Yeah, you tried to give me a
rehearsal. Yeah, but this is not rehearsed.
Okay. Anyways, we're boring them.
All right, so this is Comaholics Episode 9 on ineedcomics.com, part of the Pop Culture Network.
WNBC.
And I am your host, Dirt. This is my co-host.
The Apocalypse Leopakis. Welcome, folks.
Today we're here to talk about a number of things. We are going to talk again about Two Guns and Tumor.
Yeah.
And why are we talking about these again?
Technical difficulties.
There were a lot of difficulties. We tried to do a podcast before
C2E2.
Gosh, no, it was. I mean, when was it? Was it a month ago?
Right.
Like, was it a whole month ago that we tried to do it?
No, it was when I was temporarily relieved of duty for that month. What was that? It was February. So it was in February.
February. Okay. Well, it's the last day of March today.
So. Right. Yeah.
So it's been over a month that we tried to do it, and. We had some technical problems. The show was skipping. We were losing chunks, like whole minutes here and there. So, you just couldn't listen to it.
It broke our spirits.
But on the other hand, we did start. I started with rum first thing, just drinking straight rum.
Yeah.
So by the time we got to the end of the show, it wasn't really that coherent anyway.
Yeah, I don't think we gave the comics justice.
I don't really remember a whole lot about the last segment of the show. So.
It was like when you wake up the next morning and wonder how you drove home.
It's like, why am I wearing a sailor hat and where are my pants? So
or no pants.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Where are they?
Yeah, I don't know.
So, we're doing this again, talking about Tumor from Arkea and Two Guns from Boom Studios. We're also going to talk about Nemesis from Marvel's Icon line, Mark Millar and Steve Niven, I believe it is. Excuse me. I am fighting a cold a little bit, so I will be hacking a little bit here and there. And
I'm a little snidely, too, but I didn't catch it from Dirt, so don't get any ideas.
Yeah, well, it wasn't because we were Frenching.
No.
Because we were Frenching after we were sick.
Right, yeah.
So that had nothing to do with it.
I think that's how it started. Are you sick? Yeah, so am I. Okay.
Let's get it on.
We figured, why not? Share the love.
So, I guess, the first thing we usually always talk about is what are we reading? What have we just read?
Oh, boy, folks. I didn't get to really chime in on C2E2. On
oh, yeah, because I did a podcast talking about C2E2. So, first, let's start with C2E2 then. Do you have anything you wanted to say about C2E2 specifically?
There were a few panels that I got a lot of information out of.
Like?
With Jason Burroughs, Avatar.
Avatar panel, okay.
Yeah, that was really interesting.
That was one of the few actual, news type panels where they announced stuff that was coming out and, answered questions about why they published this and why they did that. So that was one of those that was really, they announced stuff.
Wasn't that the panel when they were talking about how, these are strictly female comics?
Yes, War Goddess.
War Goddess, okay. Right. Yeah, just insight into some of the Avatar stuff I'm not familiar with, but it was cool to be like, oh, well, there's a title I should go check out,
Right.
And Jason Burroughs, I got to throw two questions his way. And the last question, actually, I stole it from you because you were like, man, I got to just say this to this guy. But basically, how do you sleep at night after you've drawn your last frame from your last, you know, page or whatever, you know?
No problem.
Yeah, he's just like, that's just the job, you know? But
and you actually, you hung out at the Avatar table for a while, bugging Jason Burroughs, wouldn't leave me alone.
Yeah.
So that was kind of funny because it was like
I got him to
sign. Where did Eris go? Where? Oh, at Avatar.
Sign this. Oh, variant cover. I will take that. Sign this.
Yeah, I bought one of his sketch covers.
Did you?
I bought the Jason Burroughs crossed sketch cover, and he drew it right there at the show. So that was
really cool. He was the star of all the people that I saw there. That I was really excited to see.
Yeah. He's not at all what I expected.
You got to see Mark Waid, though.
Yeah, Mark Waid, Matt
I missed
Fraction
out on that. That sounded really good.
That was awesome.
The other panel that I was interested in was Arcadia and what they had to say about their hardcovers and their philosophy behind how they publish comics and the size and the shape and the texture. And, yeah, that was really good.
Yeah.
So, great panels. I thought better panels than last year. I was expecting a little bit more. Maybe I just, you know, it's luck of the draw with those panels. There's so many to see, too.
Yeah,
you know, that doesn't really give it justice. You know, I saw
Marvel
what,
and DC four panels also have of like a 30 tendency to kind of dominate. Compete with each other. Well, they compete with each other. So it's like, oh, there's the Marvel Fear Itself panel going at the same time.
Oh, so we're
going to
do DC
Brightest
Universe,
Day.
Yeah,
yeah,
Brightest
you know, something
Day.
Like that.
I sat in on the tail end of DC Universe, and it was like. It reminded me of like Conan with like the pyramid and all the people like all dressed the same and and just like worshiping the guys up top. I mean, everybody was like hanging on every word that those guys were talking up there.
Yeah,
it was funny. Maybe it was just because I like walked in right at the end, like.
Well, yeah, at the end, it's like the question and answer,
the hoopla, you know, and they all get going. But, yeah, I guess there was some sneak peeks there, but, yeah.
Yeah. What about, any great stuff you bought or anything?
I stuck to my ground rule this year of just
buying nothing.
No, I let my budget go.
Oh.
But I just bought nothing but comics. You know, I didn't buy t-shirts, I didn't buy stickers. I did buy that autograph, the Sam Tremel autograph for...
Yeah, but that wasn't for you.
No.
Although you keep... You keep bringing it up.
Well, yeah, he was very charming.
Mm-hmm.
anyways, but as far as on the floor, I was expecting more. Like, I don't know.
Well, because, like, Boom wasn't there this year.
Right.
Dark Horse didn't have as big a presence. Actually, did they? I'm trying to remember if they were actually there. There were guys who had worked on Dark Horse books, but I don't think Dark Horse actually had
I don't think I
a...
saw Dark Horse either.
Yeah, so there was no Dark Horse there. There was no Boom.
Well, I mean, you got the program right over there.
Yeah, but why look
at
that?
Oh, why?
But unlike Wizard World Chicago last year, you did have Marvel and DC had actual booths there, and they did not.
That's
at,
true.
At Wizard World, so...
Yeah, they need to step up their game if they're even going to become close to compete. Yeah.
Well, I think...
Did you get that email from me? From Wizard World, I forwarded it to you.
Oh, Christopher Lloyd.
Christopher Lloyd's going to be there.
Yeah, well. I mean, I like Back to the Future, but that really has nothing to do with comics.
Marty!
1.21 gigawatts! So anyway.
Something's got to be done about your kids, Marty!
So C2E2.
Yeah.
So that's that.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah. Actually, I was a man on a mission, so I didn't let much distract me. Like, I had, like, plans to talk to publishers and writers and... You know, not really trying to con any free stuff. Actually, I bought pretty much most of the stuff I had. You know, some of them were generous and gave me some free books and stuff. But, anyways, all right, so we're going to move on to what we're reading currently.
What we're reading.
And I don't mean to speed things along too fast, but I read a lot. So I got a lot to talk about.
Okay.
Actually.
Well, go ahead.
Earlier, I thought it'd be really fun to like try to like memorize something and get this all out in like 2 minutes, but I'm not that smart. So I'm just gonna go. Daredevil Reborn. I really like the series, and there's a shocking ending in this, but it's not the end.
I was gonna say that's not the final issue, is it?
No, no.
I have all those. I read like the first two, but you know I'm behind on everything. So
does anybody find it ironic? You've got like two characters that are not A characters, but both are like seeking redemption in opposite paths. And I'm referring to Dokken and Daredevil. I don't know. That's just mine.
But it's because the next book in your pile is Dokken. Dokken,
Dark Wolverine. Honestly, folks, I'm kind of wondering if I'm going to keep collecting this. I'm not really excited about Mandipore and what he's doing over there. And, you know, he's trying to take over Mandipore. I don't really care about Mandipore. And his character is kind of stale. You know, they try to throw in some, like, shocking moments with him and stuff. But let's face it, he's a washed out. He's got his claws ripped out. The only reason why he has these claws is because he got them from Fantastic Four. Oh, my God, I'm brain dead. Help me out.
Which person in Fantastic Four? The dead guy?
No, not the dead guy.
Reed Richards?
Yes, Reed Richards. Thank you.
You know, I have to say that with Dokken, I liked Dark Wolverine. And it went all the way up to, like, issue 90 or whatever. He was in there 75 through 90.
Right.
And then it quit, and it started over with this new series. And the new series has not blown me away. I really liked the character in Dark Wolverine.
Right.
There was a whole lot of... He had these powers, and he wasn't exactly sure. Like, he was toying with people. And he definitely liked mayhem and violence and playing with people. But at the same time, you never really got that sense that he was a true villain as much as he was just kind of a jerk.
Right.
You know? And it was kind of interesting to see what he was going to do. And then with this new series, it's just like...
Well, when he was a part of Hammer... You know, and he was one of Osborn's cronies.
Right, and it's just kind of like, I don't know, with this new series, it just seems like it lost a lot of that focus, right. And it's a much more mass market.
They added that female character who's like was like the queen,
right,
kingpin of the city, and they just like made her up, and she's like a. Is it just me or wasn't she kind of like a cross of a couple different villain female characters? Like, she kind of has not necessarily villain even, but, like, she's got kind of, like, a Psylocke-ish thing going on with, like, a... You know, they're trying to... The way they made her up, it just seems to...
Like, they could have used characters they already had, and instead they made up this new random
Thank you. Yeah. All right, moving along. Better fly through this. Brightest Day.
Yeah, no idea.
Okay.
I'm so far behind on that.
Yeah, there's... I like what they're doing with Firestorm, and there's some surprises in that one, too. ASM, are you caught up on ASM?
I'm not caught up.
Okay.
But I am reading it.
Well, without giving away too much, you know.
I mean, you can go ahead and...
Well, he's redesigning these suits
for
himself.
Right.
You know, he's lost his Spidey sense.
Right.
You knew that, right?
Right.
So, there's this new super villain that's just really evil and nasty and just kills people because he has no moral code.
Okay.
That's
it? That's all you gotta say? Like it? Thumbs up? Thumbs down?
Oh, no, I like... I like it. I do. It's not
like...
You said
it with such conviction.
It's not my favorite. It's not... I'm just kind of...
Like, it used to be your favorite, didn't... Wasn't it one time?
Just where they're going right now with it is not my favorite. Like, I had fun with, like, the Kraven Hunt stuff and leading into
Big Time.
So
you don't like Big Time?
The premise is neat, but here's the thing. Spider-Man, Peter Parker, he's always supposed to be down and out. He's always supposed to be, you know, the character, the person himself is always supposed to be the downtrodden, never going to succeed.
Yeah, but wasn't that kind of the point of why they've been doing everything the way they have the last few years? Is because everybody's always like, this is the way Spider-Man has to be, so they're challenging all those notions? I mean, that Spider-Man's always got to be with Mary Jane, and now they're saying, well, not anymore.
Well, you know, and then there was a split, and then the memory wipe, and then they remember. And
then they remember, but they decide not to get back together.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that part of the thing, is that...
I enjoy it. You know, it's...
They're injecting something new into
it. It's still one of my
favorites.
It's just...
I have to say, I like the suits. I like the suit.
Yeah?
I like the whole Tron suit idea with the different colors.
This one you'll like if you haven't read this
one. I flipped through it, but I didn't actually
read it. It's like a bulletproof.
I mean, I caught the scene where he's talking to Jameson.
It is neat to see him in the science lab and, like, where he's got his own secret place to...
His bat cave.
Yeah, basically. Batman.
But I mean, I like the whole... Like, I caught the scene as I was flipping through it of him and Jameson, and he's like... you know, nobody dies anymore.
Right.
He's like, that guy's a villain. That guy's a criminal. And he's like, but not on my watch. No one ever dies again. And he goes, well, now I see you're not a menace, you're just a fool. You know, and I think that's an interesting way to kind of reshape their
dynamic.
So I'm digging it. You know, Spider-Man is not my favorite character of all time or anything, but I'm certainly digging the story. So, all right then.
I think writing style is probably one of the more challenging ones going right now. It's pretty dynamic. Anyways, Green Hornet 14. I was reluctant to carry it on after Kevin Smith, but I like it. But the ending to this.
Don't they reveal a character?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, they reveal a villain, and it's kind of run-of-the-mill. It kind of like Scooby-Doo-ish. Like you find out
like,
that...
Is it like, Old Man Farmer?
Yeah, you find out at the end that lady...
Uh-huh, yeah.
The lady of whatever, who's it, that the gang is worshipping, and, you know, the priest is the ringleader, is actually like this mentally disabled, see right here, kind of like deformed woman.
Huh. So she's sloth from Goonies.
Yeah, I know. And you know, the priest tries to pretend it's not his fault. And then,
sloth, Green Hornet!
Anyways, so...
Worst impression, by the way, but...
Leading up to this issue, I was fairly satisfied with the transition. Hmm. A little disappointed in the ending there. How about our good friend, Deadpool?
Yeah, I have read that one. I am up on
Isn't
that.
Isn't it hilarious?
I love that one.
Seriously?
So he's hired to kill a planet.
A planet, yep.
Ego the Living Planet is a Marvel, like, weird science tale. So
isn't he son of Id, or
well, no,
relative
of
Id?
Id is like this moon that broke off of Ego, yeah. And so now he's he's out there, and they want him destroyed. Yeah, Deadpool's married now to like, so this
like
big,
a big
fat rhinoceros,
like
hippopotamus.
Yellowish hippo rhinoceros alien.
There was a show. I'm trying to remember what the show was when we were kids. It would have been a show from, like, late 70s, early 80s. And there was some, like, Henrietta Hippopotamus or something like that. It was a pink hippo or a pink polka dot dress. Does this ring a bell with you at all?
Yes.
That's who it reminds me. Deadpool's wife reminds me.
What is that from?
Henrietta Hippo. I have no idea.
Okay.
It might be something from, like, the Great Space Coaster or something. I don't remember.
Okay.
But, yeah. Zoobly Zoo? I don't know.
All these salty foods. I don't want to get them on my comics.
So anyway, Deadpool is still even, cracking me up.
He's more ruthless again.
Yeah, he's back to being the cold-blooded killer. He's not trying to be the hero anymore. He enjoys being the merc. And it's fun. It's one of those books that I'll still laugh out loud from time to time when something happens.
Yeah, they should shame on them if they were get rid of this title.
This is the one they need to keep. I'm glad they finished Team Up. And
I haven't read them yet.
Okay, well, Team Up was okay.
Was it?
But Deadpool 4, at least they finished that one off.
I believe I talked to Gaska at Arcadia, the writer for Critical Millennium. I picked that up. Had him sign them all, but for some reason I thought I had... the complete collection. I don't.
You want 2 and 3. I don't know if 4 is even out.
I think it just came out. I think it said release date in March.
Oh.
This is great. This reminds me of like...
I've got issues 1, 2, and 3 sitting in my pile. Uh-huh. And I sat down one day to read number 1. And there's like 9 billion words in like the first 3 pages.
There's a lot of dialogue.
It's just one of those things where it's like... It was so... Like there were so many other things going on in the room at the time and everything. Like, it wasn't a quiet room. I could sit and focus. And I was like, I can't read this.
Let me ask you, you're an art major. Mm-hmm. Is this like how do they do the frames? Is this painted? Because it looks painted.
I don't know.
This is one of the things I noticed. It looks like it was brushed on, not. And that says something about the art. I really like the style. It's kind of like a Blade Runner meets Mad Max or something.
I would guess it was painted digitally. I would guess he has got a tablet hooked up to his computer, and he's using a pen.
Well,
but I mean, yes, it has that painted look to it, but I would guess it was digitally painted. I don't know that, but but I mean, that would be.
And yeah, it's got
I like that style.
It's got that retro future look to it. You know, it's just kind of like a wild imagination of
it reminded
far
me,
in the future. Well, and I like the premise
of like Brazil or 12 Monkeys. Yes. Lots of tubes and wires and you know, just like random cables.
Well, the premise is that like Earth is completely its natural resources and the environment is toast.
Wall-E.
Yes. It is toast. It is Wall-E land. And but there's still humans living on it. And basically white people are like at this point like the minority,
right?
And they form these like, kind of this kind of oxymoron, but like a racist anti-racist group,
like a White Panther.
Like they have like a swastika with like a line over. It's not a total. It's a weird. Yeah. Anyways, good story. I can't wait to read the fourth one, and then I'd really like to talk about that one at some point. Moving along, Avengers Academy.
I haven't read the latest one, but I am. I think I'm up to date. Tigra expelled, or the two, whoever, and then, I think, actually, that may have been 2 issues ago. That may be the last that I've read it. But yeah, Avengers Academy is a title that I didn't think I was going to care about, because when they were like, oh, Avengers Academy, Avengers, Secret Avengers,
yeah,
New
Avengers. It was like the bottom of my list.
But the way it is now, I don't read Secret Avengers anymore at all, and I enjoy Avengers Academy a lot.
So. Yeah, me too. Seaghost. You're the one that talked me into this
one. Yeah, I love that book.
It's neat. I like... The art is kind of like you said. It's like trying to do like a 50s comic, but you could tell it's been like cleaned up and looks modern.
Right. It's got that classic look to it. And it,
pull this out of here.
It's also got that... to me, it feels like the old like Space Ghost or... some of those like Hanna-Barbera, you know, 60s and 70s cartoons, the crazy sci-fi and funky looking aliens.
Well, like
and,
the color contrast, there's no fade. You know what I'm saying? It's like
There's a lot of
sharp lines,
right?
Yeah. So, yeah, it was neato fun. I liked it. I'd like to read another issue. Now, they're making mention like there were previous issues.
There was a series called The Adventures of Captain Eli. And Captain Eli was like this kid. He was, I don't know if he was like 8 or 12 or what the deal was, but he was this little kid and he had, I think it was a submarine. And somewhere in that book he ran, you know, being underwater, he ran across the sea ghost. And there was some, I forget exactly what the mix-up was, but of course he thought, I think that Sea Ghost was a villain, but they just misunderstood each other. I don't remember exactly, it's been a while.
Did they hug in the end?
I read it, but the Captain Eli books are Johnny Quest.
Okay.
And Sea Ghost is Space Ghost. You know, I mean, that's not an accurate comparison, but that's a, you know.
Sure.
A way you can look at it.
The, like, Cthulhu dragon monster.
Yeah, I like the big dragon monster. All the tentacles and everything hanging off them. And the monkey people.
Yes, Planet of the Apes. Come on now. Yeah, it was very...
But it's a very... Like, it's one thing I was talking about in my review of it, because I did do a review of this for IneedComics.com, written review, is that it's family-friendly, but not family-friendly in the sense that, like, oh, we have to dumb this down for kids. Oh, there's the Captain Eli books.
Okay.
It's not like we have to dumb this down for kids. It's just, like, I'm going to write a story that's focused on the story and not focused on trying to shock anybody.
Right.
Or, you know, I'm not going to throw anything in there that's going to make people go, oh, my goodness. It's just, like, here's straight-up story, you know, and it makes it into a wholesome, family-friendly book.
New Avengers?
I have a hard time reading these last couple ones because I don't like Howard Chaykin's artwork.
Oh.
And he is all over these last two. Nick Fury's past.
Uncanny X-Force. I did a written review on this one. Love it.
You did?
Yeah.
Did you send it to me?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
For this?
Uh-huh.
For issue 6?
No, it was for like the first.
Oh,
remember?
Okay. Yeah, well, okay. I thought you meant for that issue.
No. So, it's this one. There's like, it's like a deathlocks all over this, and it has to do with like, you know, future coming to the past. Won't get into it too much. Lady Mechanica.
I read the zero, but I haven't read the number one.
I like it. It's pretty cool stuff. I got this. I don't think this is a C2E2 exclusive, but it was like a retailer incentive.
No.
More Critical Millennium.
A beer ad.
Beer ad. Uncanny X-Force. 5.1. All the 5.1s.
All those point ones.
Yep. Thunderbolts.
Nope. Okay.
You haven't
read it? I don't read Thunderbolts. Okay.
That's fine. We'll continue on.
Oh, that's fine. That's okay with you? Oh, yeah. That I don't read Thunderbolts? Okay, so that's where you're at with that?
Yeah.
I'm up to date on the Batgirls. Okay. You don't read Batgirl, so it doesn't really do much for you. But recently what they've been doing is her character, she was a vigilante before, known as Spoiler. And she had to give it up for whatever reason. And then she became Batgirl and her mom found out about it, and so there's this whole thing where she's, you know, trying to keep this. Her mom knows that she's had this secret identity and she's done this stuff, but she's lying to her mom saying that she doesn't do it anymore while she's still doing it.
So she's Hit Girl.
So it's, well, there's kind of like a different take on it. That's kind of how that's going. And, but the writer who does it is just. And of course, I don't have one sitting in front of me, or I pull up his name. So, if you happen to write Batgirl,
what? It's not your tablet?
No, it's not. This is my e-reader. My e-reader. Not in there. Five Ronin. Have you been reading that
one?
That one's. I've read one, two, and three. I'm in the middle of four.
Okay.
I'm in the middle of three. I didn't realize. Like, I knew it was going to do.
I didn't like the Hulk one that much.
Hulk one was okay.
Punisher one's pretty good. Not in the middle of it.
The thing is,
don't give it away.
Well, no. I knew they were doing like Punisher and Hulk, and you know they're taking like these other characters and kind of redoing them.
Right.
I didn't pay attention that closely though to all the names. Do you know who the five names are? The five characters they're doing.
No.
Okay. There's one character that's so far interlinking all of these issues together. It's the drunk guy with the hat, with that big hat. Because he's in the first one, he's like, I saw you die, you came back, and you know. In the second one, he wanders up to Hulk, and he's like, oh yeah, they told me to come up here and find you, and blah blah blah. That character is the one that's stringing all these stories together.
He's like the drunken master.
Deadpool. That's Deadpool. Because I got to the end of three. And there was the ads for 4 and 5, and I saw the thing for 5, and it was Deadpool, and I just started laughing out loud. I was like, oh, Deadpool.
Duh.
That's who that is. So, wow. But cool. Yeah, I really, for a story that is really going to mean nothing in the long run, you know, this is just like taking random characters and making them into samurai, you know. Right. Kind of a really dumb premise.
Don't you think that the really Hulk was kind of a stretch and it didn't really work?
I got the idea that he was a guy trying to quell his
rage,
his rage and his bloodthirst, was trying to live that peaceful life, and then he just keeps getting pulled into these conflicts that makes him turn into that, you know, warrior again. I mean, that fits, because these are characters that do not have any special superhero powers. You know, so Wolverine has no healing factor,
right?
You know, that's not what his story's about.
No, it's more about the core ego of the character.
Well, yeah, it's taking that character and saying, okay, well, what if these characters existed at this point in time? No superpowers or anything. I mean, it's just straight up. And so I've really enjoyed the story's a lot. I only bought it in the first place because it had like the two covers, and I was like, ooh, two covers, you know,
right?
Whatever. But then actually, I started reading them, and I was like, these are good. Like, I'm gonna, you know, I wanted to finish out that series. Deadpool Core Team Up, Detective Comics. Have you been up on that?
I think I'm like two behind.
Oh man, Commissioner Gordon's son James has returned, and he has this dark past as a killer, and you're kind of unsure if he's still crazy.
Didn't they have like a truce?
Well, like, he...
They met at a cafe.
Right.
The son had to tell him something.
Right. And basically, they'd come up with this agreement years earlier that the son would leave town and never come back, and right. the dad wouldn't chase after him, whatever. And so anyway, that story going on has been pretty cool. Avengers, I'm only up to, like, issue 8. So 11 just came out, so I just got done with the whole Kang Immortus war.
Kang! Kang is everywhere. Why do they
Flash? Flash, I'm still only on issue 3.
Love it. So you know me and Flash.
But I got this e-reader. This is the Slick E700. This was sold at Borders bookstores. And this thing is fantastic. It runs PDFs natively, and review comics. You know, since we do reviews, we get PDFs like Boom Studios every month or every week sends us everything they have in PDFs. Sometimes you get stuff from Marvel as a PDF. Sometimes DC will have PDFs, and it'll read PDFs. You can convert them. There's a program called Caliber that can convert them to the EPUB format, which is the ebook format, and they run super smooth on here. And I love reading them on this thing, and it just makes it so handy and nice. And
I gotta wait till my next paycheck.
Oh man, but it's great. It's great.
I'm so used to reading them on my phone.
Yeah. So anyway, if you do have PDFs, or if you're picking up EPUBs of books, magazines, whatever, this is a great. It's full color LCD screen. It runs pretty nice, and it's less than $100. So it's a nice little machine, and you know, like I said, since we get PDFs of comics every week from some of the different companies, it's just nice to read the review stuff.
And thank you, we appreciate it.
So, anyway, all right, we're gonna take a commercial break since this is 30 minutes into the show
now.
Wow. Yeah, I know.
I told you I had a stack to go through.
It's 10:27 p.m. So we're gonna take a quick break, and then when we come back, what order do we want to do these?
Well, let's do Tumor, Two Guns, and Nemesis.
Okay. So next, when we come back, we're going to be talking Tumor from Archaea.
Hey, guys. I'm Rob Bass, calling all my comic book fanatics to come check out Comic Nation TV the last Friday of every month, as well as Comic Nation TV comic news every Friday on the Pop Culture Network.
And we're back, folks.
You're going to survive?
Yeah, no. Welcome back. We're going to talk about Tumor now.
Are we?
Yes, we are.
Tell me about Tumor.
Joshua Hale Fialkoff? Fialkoff.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Well, interesting enough, Mel was talking about this in the panel, about how they found this guy.
Okay, yeah. let's back up here a little bit. Who's Mel? What panel?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Panel C2E2.
Mel Kalo.
Super nice guy, real approachable.
Yeah, actually, he's the public relations, media relations, marketing, I forget sure. what guy from Archaea, but he's a super nice guy. You can just sit there and ask him questions all day, and he'll gladly answer them.
Yeah.
He's great. If you ever go to a show and you see the Archaea booth, just look for the guy with the Mel name tag and just talk to him for an hour. Ask him questions about Spider-Man. That'll give you real happy. But,
like, damn yous, guys.
But this is Tumor. It's a black and white hardcover graphic novel. And it is available on the Kindle in the Amazon bookstore.
That's right.
So this was the first comic released.
Very successful on the Kindle.
They released the first chapter for free. So you can download it for free, the first chapter, and trust me, after you read it, you'll want to...
Oh, yeah.
You'll go
I couldn't
ahead
imagine
buy it.
Just reading the first chapter and just setting
like, if you read the first chapter of Tumor and then just decide, nah, I'm not gonna finish up on it, then stop reading.
No, I want you to email me why.
Just stop reading comics. But Tumor is basically about a man, elderly, private eye... And he finds out that he has a brain tumor, and he's
right.
dying, and he's losing his grip on the present.
Right.
He's having flashbacks.
The past, yeah.
And he has these flashbacks. He's not sure if he's in the past or in the present. And at the same time, he's hired by this young woman who, her dad is into like these shady business deals and whatever. And her life is in danger. So he's trying to save her life, and at the same time, he's having flashbacks to himself and his wife
right.
when they were younger. And there's just a lot of
it's a murder mystery, sort of.
Yeah, and it's called Tumor.
Yeah,
and it's a guy with a brain tumor, so he does die at the end. So you know, it's like that's not really much of a spoiler, I don't think, of a book called Tumor. But
the art reminds me of kind of it's very Detective Comics.
It's noir.
Yes,
it's black. Like I said, the book is in black and white. And it's got basically these two different styles, where you've got this line work for all the modern
and then
day.
And you got shading.
Well, yeah, the modern day stuff is like just your regular like line work, just your regular like pen and ink or brush and ink stuff. And then when he starts having these flashbacks and goes back in time, you get this like very light. Very thin line, kind of almost barely there.
Like it's in a cloud.
Yeah, and then he's gone back with a brush, almost like a watercolor or wash of some kind, and has added all this.
It's almost like you can feel the fuzziness of his synapse and dendrites just going nuts in his head.
Right, because everything that's currently happening is sharp
right.
and dark, and every time he goes into one of these flashbacks, it gets fuzzy.
Right,
yeah. So that's really kind of an interesting technique.
And when he comes back and he's interacting with this young woman who reminds him of his wife, he minces memories. Like, he'll pour out stuff that he said in the past to her.
Right. In his mind, he'll be having a flashback, having a conversation, and then it snaps back to the present, and he's finishing the conversation.
It's like dementia. He has dementia,
basically. Yeah, yeah. And this chick's like, you know, what the hell are you talking about? But there's... This guy is well, here, wait. Let me see this for a second. Let me see if I can find... Frank Armstrong is the name of the character. And Frank is... Like, I can't think of a more likable character.
Well, he's so pathetic. It's hard not to like him.
I wouldn't say pathetic. Because pathetic almost sounds like
well,
not a loser.
No, he's not a loser. He's trying very hard to keep it together, but he's just falling apart, you know?
Right, because to me, pathetic sounds like a guy who can't win because he's too stupid and too inept.
Okay.
And I wouldn't put him that way. I would say that he's a guy who, he's so vulnerable.
Right.
Vulnerable, I think, is the right word for it. Because, I mean, one, you're getting old. When you're old, you can't do what you used to do. And he runs into that a couple times. They do chases, and he's, right. you know, running and trying to jump over stuff and whatever.
He gets shot.
Yeah, he gets shot. But, you know, on the other hand, with the, you know, the tumor eating away his brain and the stuff that he's going through, you know, you really, like, you want this guy to succeed.
Right.
Like, you are so drawn to this guy. I can't think of a more, like, likable protagonist that I've read
well,
in so long.
Plus, you think about it this way. The title of the book is Tumor. He's going to die, you know?
And you feel for him. Like, you know, like...
You know the guy is going to die.
Like, and you really like the guy, and it sucks.
I think the thing that you try to get from it is he going to redeem himself when he dies?
Right. Because he does make some mistakes along the way.
Right.
He has had some problems in his past, and he's trying to help this girl out, knowing he's dying. It's like he's going to save her if it's the last thing he does, is basically the idea.
Well, he was a private detective. They don't live clean lives.
Right.
You know.
There's also...
His private detective buddy, or so-called buddy. You know, there's a lot of intrigue in there.
And that's the artwork from Noel...
Toison?
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 Toison? Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. T-U-A-Z-O-N.
Yeah.
Twas all. But, you know, the artwork, the story is so good, the artwork is so good, the two of them blended together, you know, is whenever you have a good artist working with a good writer, like, you can tell it almost immediately. And this is one of those things where I think, like, 2 to 3 pages into it, I was like, wow, this is good. But then on top of that, this is from Arkea.
It's well bound. It's a good hardcover.
Arkea is, they call themselves like They make comic books for book snobs, I think, is what they said.
It's like they make comic books for non-comic book readers.
Right. I mean, this is one of those books where if someone, you know, was kind of like, you know, like, why do people read comics? I'm not really into comics. Someone who's a big reader, you would give them this book and they would get it, you know.
Right.
But the book is, it's, you know, bound like any hardcover book. Yeah, yeah, like any novel. It's about the same size as a regular novel, so you could take off the dust jacket and walk around with a book and people would have no idea that it's a... Even with the dust jacket on, they probably wouldn't even really know.
Yeah.
But then also because it's Archaea, they always try to make their stuff, you know, stand out. And so the dust jacket is only like...
Yeah, it doesn't fit the size of the book.
It's like 5/6 the size of the book, you know, 4/5, whatever. So it's got this strip at the top where there is no dust jacket. And it's because on the front there's this portrait of Frank, but the top of his head, top of his head's cut off, and underneath you can see his brain. And the brain is actually a gold stamp on the front of the hardcover. And so it's just really a strong visual.
Right.
It's one of those things that when that's sitting on a shelf...
They have the 10-foot rule. Remember they talked about the 10-foot rule?
Right. Archaea has a 10-foot rule. It says if your book is sitting and someone's 10 feet away from it, what makes it stand out from
the
other
books? Yeah.
Right. And so that's...
Well, just like Mouse Guard, which I got to meet the writer, creator, artist for Mouse Guard. I forget his name.
Oh.
Super nice guy.
Yeah. And David Peterson.
Yeah.
Peterson.
And... by the way, I don't know if it starts getting too scary, I'm going to stop, but I started reading it to Callie as like a bedtime story.
Oh, really?
My 5-year-old.
And
there's some violence.
Yeah, I was gonna say, there are a couple parts you might want to kind of gloss over, but for the most part, it's...
Well, it's kind of like Dark Crystal-ish.
Right.
As far as darkness goes, but...
Tumor is also... it's $14.95 for this hardcover book, which
well,
you can't
worth
beat.
It, yes.
And then, you know, on top of that, we talked about it being a digital book. I think there's eight chapters? Yeah, there's 8 chapters, and each chapter is $2 on Amazon, except the first chapter is free. So you're only buying 7 at $1.99 a chapter, I think it is. So that's $14. So you actually save a dollar buying digital instead of a hardcover. So if you have a Kindle, it's definitely worth checking out. If you don't have a Kindle and you still want to check out just the first chapter to see if maybe you want to buy this book, you can download... Kindle has an app on your Android phone. They might have one for the iPhone, I'm not sure. But they also have a desktop application that you can download just to your regular computer or your laptop. And the neat thing is, I'm just going to go off on the Kindle here for a second.
No, go ahead.
But if you download an ebook from the Amazon bookstore, so like say you download Tumor, and you get the first chapter and it's like 12 pages, 15 pages, whatever, and you read like the first 6, and then you stop and you close the program, the next time you open that program, it'll be on page 6, regardless. If you read it on your phone and shut it off and then go to your desktop and open it up, your desktop will be synced to the same page.
So the account is attached.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a dedicated account.
Right, right. So Archaea, the first publishers to get asked to do an e-comic like that for the bookstore, so they had to, you know, figure out how to do it and how to make it work, and they chose Tumor because they knew that Tumor, first of all, it's black and white anyway.
Right.
So on an e-ink reader like that, it just made sense. But also, it's one of those books that, you know, you read the first couple pages and you're
hooked.
Yeah. I mean, if this was made into a movie,
yeah.
Can you imagine
how
many Academy Awards?
I already picked it. Harrison Ford.
Yeah, because he's getting older. I still have kind of a Bruce Willis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Vibe with it because there's a lot of action and he can still do all that. But yeah. I love this book.
Yeah, it's great.
And then you can't have this.
I didn't ask for it.
I'm just saying.
I even gave it back to you after I read it.
I know, I'm just saying. You can't have... There's some of these... Like, I let you have that Superman Earth one and...
yeah, I know.
This one's mine.
You spoil me. Yeah, that's a good one.
So, $14.95, that's Tumor from Archaea. Just buy... Like, that's the highest recommendation we have is to buy that one.
Yeah, most definitely.
All right, we're going to take another quick break here, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about Two Guns from Boom Studios.
Welcome to a collaboration between the Geekcast Radio Network and the Pop Culture Network. This is From the Command Center, the podcast. I am your host, Steve Joe and Mike from the GCRN, and joining me is Zordon himself. Scotty Cash.
That's right, Scotty Cash from the Pop Culture Network, and today we're introducing you to the audio version of From the Command Center, the podcast that will entail our intake on Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the episodes, the seasons, and all that other good stuff.
Hey, cheers. Cheers. Opa!
What does that mean?
I don't know. Ah. It's like cheers.
Everybody knows your name? Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Comaholics, segment 3 here on the show. Mm-hmm. This time we're going to be talking about Two Guns. It was a miniseries, now a trade paperback from Boom Studios. And this is actually kind of old.
Right.
This one, the trade came out in...
06?
08.
The comic came out in 06.
Wait, when the trade came out?
Probably 08.
Okay. And so...
Yeah, 08.
This is one of those that we're covering because we can.
Yeah.
They didn't send it to us. This didn't come on anybody's recommendation. It was just kind of randomly like, hey, let's check out this book. And we both enjoyed it. So we felt like it was worth talking about here. So this is Two Guns. Writer, artist, give us some credits.
We have Stephen Grant is the writer, and Matt Santoluco is the artist. Santoluco.
Oh, I think I vacationed there once.
Did you?
Is that a port in Mexico?
Yes.
Santoluco.
Yes.
And it's basically, there's a deep cover CIA agent and a deep cover naval intelligence officer,
yes.
And neither one knows that the other guy is undercover.
Right.
And so they basically go in on this bank heist, thinking that each is going to turn in the other guy, and then they find out that they're basically patsies.
Yes.
Of this greater conspiracy. So then these two guys who are going to turn on each other realize that now they have to work together.
I don't know if it was, maybe I'm probably misquoting, but some major Hollywood company bought the screenplay for this.
Oh, I'm sure.
I think it was Universal or something, and there was intentions of putting, they had a guy in mind, and I'm assuming it'd be the dark-haired guy. It was,
that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
great. Come back to it, it'll pop in my head.
But it was a 4-issue miniseries, I guess. And it basically just goes like these guys...
Vince Vaughn!
Oh, that's right, I do remember that.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, Vince Vaughn.
It took me a second.
It's one of those stories where, like, this would be a great buddy cop movie.
Right.
They realize they have
to
work together.
The new Lethal Weapon.
They end up...
But they'd have to change one of them to a black guy.
Yeah, well... But they
end up too old for
going
this.
To Mexico, yeah. And getting kidnapped, taken to Mexico, and then try to find their way back. And it's also one of those where it's like, in some ways, it's kind of like the Bourne Identity, where you've got like this someone's getting crossed and then double crossed, and double agent, triple agent, and all kinds of
partners betraying partners,
switchbacks, and
yeah.
But one thing about the story that I really enjoyed is that the two characters, to me, felt real. And a lot of times when they do, when
dialogue was really believable.
It was very crisp. A lot of times when they do these, the characters are so cookie cutter. You've got one guy who is committed to his job and does everything by the book, and then the other guy is the loose cannon.
Yeah.
And you kind of a little bit get that.
You got two guys here that walk the gray
but
line.
Yeah, I mean they're both running that same undercover type of deal. So they're both kind of in the same spot, even though they come from different branches of the military. But they both they're achieving
one's,
the same
what,
thing.
Navy and the other
one's Navy and one's CIA.
CIA.
Yeah, and so. And it all makes sense. It's also one of those things where a lot of times you get to the end of these things and there's something comes out of left field. It's like, oh, the vice president of the United States, his cousin happened to be the son-in-law.
There's not too much pulp in it. You know, it's not like a Pulp Fiction action, you know, cop story. It's more like when I read that they you know somebody bought the rights for a screenplay, it was obvious for me. You right. know, it's just got that. It's not really too boring, but there is a kind of, you know, this is the typical, you know, Lethal Weapon-ish with a twist. I mean, there's a little bit of a twist because you got the two guys.
What do you
guys.
Mean by boring, though? What do you mean?
Well, I don't know. Some of it was predictable, you know, where it was very movie-esque predictable.
Well, okay. I mean, to be fair, you know, it's one of those things where... like the
lady partner is gonna betray him.
Right. The know? Third chapter always finds them, you know, in like their worst spot, and that's when they happen to be in Mexico. You know, it's building up to this big thing at the end. You know, the big climax. But again, it all makes sense. There's no
no surprises.
The double cross. Well, I mean, there are kind of surprises in the sense of like who's in on it and who's not.
Right.
But I mean,
thought that was surprising. Who's in on it and who is not?
I thought there were other people.
I thought that
involved.
Was the most predictable part.
I thought there were other people involved who weren't.
You thought there were extra characters that weren't involved?
No,
in the story?
No. But I mean, like, I don't want to give too much away for the sake of the
I already
show,
gave
but
it
like,
away. I already said that the lady partner betrayed him.
Well, but like the Mexican guy, the Mexican crime lord, uh-huh. I thought he was more deeper into the con.
But he's kind of
but he's not
too, yeah.
But I thought he was one. I thought he was a bigger player.
That's what you're saying.
And then suddenly you find out at one point that,
you find out he wasn't really messing.
Right. He was just more of being used,
yeah.
as a middleman. And so like things like that happen.
Boring.
Where, to me, that's not. How is that boring?
I don't know. I'm just trying to feed off of you at this you're point. Being an antagonist. No, I like the story too, but you know.
And it's also one of those things where the story ended, and that was it.
I remember I did comment last time how there was some frame flow issues, you know, I had with frame
flow. Yeah, we did talk about that last time a little bit.
Towards the end, when he's between the two guys.
Okay, you got this is radio, not TV.
Oh, okay. This would be the last issue towards the very end, when there's a face-off between...
It's like a Mexican standoff.
Yes.
Where
yes.
everybody's got guns.
Classic
pointed.
Movie style. And, you know, just the location of the CIA agent that betrays the heroin CIA
Trench,
agent.
Trench is the DIA agent. Stedman is the
DIA.
Naval officer. Then you've got the chick's boyfriend who is the hard-ass CIA right. agent.
So Trench's partner,
but there was
the
there was,
guy that betrayed.
That's not, but that's not the one that drove you crazy. There's another scene because he comes out of the water and they're on the beach, and the guy's got the machine guns. It's
oh, there,
part.
Yeah, there, it
yeah,
is,
this
yeah.
part here. Okay, so this is issue two. I think yeah, this is an issue two. This is about halfway through issue two, and there's a scene where Stedman, he got thrown into the ocean and he comes climbing out. And there are all these hitmen standing
oh, yeah,
around.
Right here.
Yeah, because you've got a character who is standing all the way to the right.
Right. And then all of a sudden
suddenly he's in
them.
The middle.
It's like he teleported between them. Blam, and, blam, he fires his guns.
Yeah. And now he's all the way over on the left side
yeah,
of the
Yeah, he's like a super ninja.
And, yeah, I mean, it's just kind of like the placement of the characters. They're placed where they need to be for the story to work, but from panel to panel, it doesn't necessarily.
Right.
And he doesn't. Santa Maria, Santa Lucci, Santa Luco.
Santa Luco.
He does have some issues where he doesn't necessarily make it flow from panel to panel. Like this panel is set up uh-huh. for as a good shot
by itself.
And this panel is set up as a good shot
by itself.
But there's nothing that really draws your eye from this one right. panel to the other panel. So that is a little lacking. But for me, I really enjoyed the story. And this is also a book. I read this whole thing in like I don't know hour and a half, 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the length of time it would take to watch it as a movie is how I read it. It flows, you know, really easy. And I don't mean that. Like, sometimes that's a knock where you're like, oh, I just, you know, I can skim that and I'm reading it. But the way it's written, the way the dialogue is and everything, there's no question on what somebody's saying.
There's a real story there.
Like it makes sense.
There is a story there.
Like, when everyone talks,
that you can follow.
Yeah, and so it makes it real easy. I guess maybe it was 5 issues. But it made it real easy to just flow through. It doesn't hang up at any point. It doesn't really stop at any point. There's no point where you're just like, oh, I can't believe I'm, you know. There are pages that have a lot of dialogue, but they don't necessarily slow down all that.
There's a lot of action.
Yeah. So
it's a lot of motion, a lot of action.
This one's also $14.99. It's definitely worth a read. You know, if you borrow it from somebody, fine, whatever. But this is still available, I believe, from Boom Studios, because I bought this not that long ago.
Didn't they just put out that previews? Well, it's been a few months. Boom put out that previews of all the stuff that they had back-ordered hardcovers and trays eaten.
Oh, they put out their backlist catalog?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I'm sure it's on there.
So, this is Two Guns from Boom Studios. I really enjoyed reading it. It's one of those, you know, I can definitely see myself reading this again next time I go on vacation or something, you know? And it's like you're going to be sitting on the beach.
It's a neat crime story.
It's very slick.
Yeah.
It's a slick crime story. It's not... Whereas Tumor is very dark and gritty and it's heavy.
Feel the pain.
Yeah, this is much more like summer blockbuster.
Yes. It's very blockbuster-ish. Yeah, it's just... I could see it in a movie. I'm surprised it's not in a movie.
And the hot redhead chick wearing a bathrobe in part of the story.
I bet you they changed the title, though, if they ever did it. I bet they wouldn't call it Two Guns.
What would they call it?
I don't know. I just don't see Two Guns working for a movie title.
Well, what would...
I don't know. I you know, and that was the one thing that threw me off. I don't think Two Guns really fits.
Because they're two hired guns. They're undercover guns.
Right,
yeah.
I mean, I get that. I understand why. I don't know.
Now this, the actual copy, the promotional material on the back of the book says, fans of Elmore Leonard, Ocean's 11, and The Italian Job.
Uh-huh.
That's who it's aimed at. Elmore Leonard, I could see. They adapted one of his books, Get Shorty, into the movie, John Travolta.
Love that movie.
Yeah, so that fits in Ocean's 11.
Sure.
I could see it fitting in with that. The Italian Job.
Yeah.
Not as if you think The Italian Job is the best movie ever made.
And it's a little gritty.
This is not really the book for you. But yeah, if you love, you know, Ocean's 11, I would definitely say that this kind of fits in that same kind of mode there. So yeah, Two Guns, definitely a recommendation on that one. So, all right, we are going to take another quick break, and then when we come back, we're talking Nemesis.
Yes.
From Marvel's Icon imprint.
It only took 3 years to collect.
What, did it take that long?
No.
I was going to say. I know Mark Millar is slow sometimes, but all right. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, I'm Rob Bass, and if you love toys, come check out my show, Not Mitten Box, every Tuesday on the Pop Culture Network.
Huh? Man, put down Words with Friends.
No, you started.
Now it's time to do the podcast.
You play some words.
Yeah.
Play a word.
Yeah, and then I played my word. I got 30 points, and now it's time to get back to our podcast.
Okay, we're back. We're going to review Millar.
And again, this is Comaholics on IneedComics.com, part of the Pop Culture Network.
Okay.
I'm Dirt.
In case we lost somebody from
this is
the third segment.
Hey, someone could be listening to this like on an MP3 player hooked up to their car radio, and they just picked up their buddy for the carpool lane.
Oh, sure.
They're heading into St. Louis to the accounting firm.
Because there's that many people listening to this.
There are, you know, several hundred.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I don't think we've cracked 600 listeners yet, but we're close.
We're going to have confetti.
Is this my
balloons.
Beer, by the way?
Yeah, that's yours. Here you go.
This is my PBR. Awesome. Oh, are you building a poker hand?
Oh, yeah. Did you win?
We're
drinking Pabst, folks, and you got a six of hearts?
No, I got the eight of hearts. You had a six of hearts and a king of clubs.
King of clubs, okay.
We got to keep drinking. Build our poker hand. That's how they get you.
That's right. 52, though. That'd be a lot.
Build a whole deck. I'm not trying to build poker in. I'm trying
to build a deck. You're not going to get them on all 52. You know, wow. It'd be a mess. Millar, McNiven's Nemesis.
All right, so what is Nemesis about? It's about a white Batman.
Evil.
Who's a bad guy.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's pretty much the whole story right there.
But
yeah. Batman wore a white suit and was the evilest guy
on the devil. Planet.
He's really... All right, so let's set up the story. There is a police... Is he commissioner? Is he police commissioner?
In Japan. We're going to start from the very beginning.
Oh, are you okay, you want to go all the way back to the beginning?
That was such a wicked beginning.
Okay, so the story opens in Japan.
Right. And basically, this is a super criminal that goes...
Like, there are no superheroes in this world,
no,
right?
No.
So, basically, everyone's normal except for this one super villain.
Right.
And this one super villain is the smartest man in the world, richest man in the world, most connected man in the world, and he basically travels the world and takes on the greatest lawmen.
Yep.
Basically. So, okay. So, it opens in Japan, and...
Oh, I love that scene. It had me at hello at this scene. It's probably like
four
pages. Yeah.
Or six
well,
pages
one,
maybe?
Two, three, four, five, six. Page seven.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Guy gets run over by a train.
Bullet train.
Very graphic.
Yeah.
Very gory.
And he's like the commissioner in Japan.
Almost like an Avatar book. Like with how gory and there's a lot of disturbing stuff in this book.
Yeah. There is. It makes you uncomfortable.
A lot of the stuff in here is pretty bad. So he basically like puts their life on the line and messes with their families.
Yeah.
And whatever. And
sets it all up like a big chess game.
Right.
And that's where he gets his kick.
Right.
It's like he's basically planned everything years in advance. And then once you start, I mean, I don't know how far we want to go as far as spoilers on this, because if you haven't read this, I want you to read it.
I mean, I think we can go up to at least what happens in the first two issues, and then kind of hint at at the end of it. So
okay. So then on the opposite spectrum, you've got which is basically the build up to his next victim,
right? The book refers to as Player Two.
Yeah.
And so this guy, this is like Dirty Harry of Washington, D.C.
Right.
I mean, this guy is...
kind of older.
Gruff.
Middle-aged.
But very committed to his job, committed to his work, deadly accurate.
But who also wants to try to climb up the ladder a little bit. Like, you know, he wants to be the next big shot Homeland Security guy. Basically.
Right. So his opponent is smart and well-regarded and fine, upstanding citizen.
Right.
And so it opens with his story, with him just basically taking out a convenience store full of armed gunmen and just blasting holes in their heads, basically.
How did he sneak that shotgun in there? Like, I get it, you know, he put on the ball cap and, you know, he makes a comment of, you know, putting on the ball cap and...
Just put it under your jacket.
I guess so.
Stick it in your armpit.
Yeah.
So anyway, he's super smart, crack shot. Everybody likes him. And so he gets pulled into the Nemesis
right
game.
It's like a masquerade.
So. Yeah, well, I almost want to say like I almost hate making the analogy because in some ways it kind of cheapens it, but it's kind of like Saw in a way. I mean, Saw, obviously, Jigsaw kidnaps
there's
the people.
There's a puppeteer and, behind
yeah,
all
I mean, there's,
this.
There's,
I mean, without giving away too much, there is definitely...
There's a very intricate...
There's something going on. And when I say masquerade, it's because... Yeah, how far do you want to go with it, you know? But the plot is way more intricate than what is revealed in the first two issues, most definitely. And you say to yourself, only four issues? Well, there's a lot.
Yeah, this is a very packed story. There's a lot of dialogue, a lot of exposition. But at the same time, everything, like almost the way he tells the story, he tells the story with a lot of scenes, and the scenes give you a lot of information.
Right.
But they give you a lot of information without necessarily spelling everything out. So you get, you have to infer a lot based off people's reactions. That makes a big difference. There's a lot of stuff that's confusing that kind of makes sense a little more as it goes along, but then at the end there's still this massive...
But the way Millar does it, it's like, you know, you get a sense that you're supposed to be confused at this point. You know? It's not like reading a comic and you're like, well, this is confusing.
Right.
It's more like, oh, this must be important.
Because he's dealing with the story as much as we are.
Be careful, that's special.
Yeah. Well, I just have chip grease all over my fingers, so
cool.
I'll just make sure not to lick it too much. He's the chief. He's the chief. What's his name? Chief Morrow. what was I saying? What was I talking about? Yeah, it was blank. Chief Morrow, he's dealing with this.
Right.
We're enough beers into this now. This is getting interesting.
Whee!
Chief Morrow is, he's dealing with it and trying to figure it out. And trying to figure it out. We're trying to figure it out. We don't have any insights, really, that he doesn't. I mean, we do see the villain doing things from time and again. But it's not necessarily giving us any clues as to what the plan is or how this stuff is going to play out. It's more of just like...
To give you a visual, it'd be like if you were watching a play, okay?
Okay.
And there's something going on in the... There's a stage and there's big production, but behind that curtain is something much bigger. And you don't really find that out until the end.
Okay, that's fair.
Like I said, there's definitely...
because I don't want to give away
exactly
what the ending is, but the way it ends in such a way where it's almost to the point where you're like... The resolution made sense until the final page.
Right.
And then on that final page, it's one of those final pages that has that twist.
Right.
Where you're like, I don't really know what this means.
But then you sit and think about it, and you're like, yeah, oh,
but it's just kind of like, it's like, how does that even work? You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's like, how could that even happen? So,
it puts a big question mark up for me, is there going to be another Nemesis?
Well, it's one of those things where, yeah, it could set up for a sequel, but I almost feel like it's not really meant to, and there really shouldn't be.
It would have to be really good.
Well, because I want to go back to the Saw analogy just for a second, because Saw, you know, you watch the first Saw and you're like, wow, that was great. That's something I'd never seen before. You know, it's just the villain wins. There's that twist at the end, and he's triumphant, and you're just like, I didn't expect any of that. Whatever. Right. And then they make a sequel. And then it's like they give away so much more information in the sequel. Right. And then they do another sequel. And then they do another sequel. And then they do it. By the time you get to like number 6 or whatever Saw is at now, you're just like, okay, like why do I even care anymore?
Right.
Like now you're just doing it for the sake of doing it. And I almost feel with Nemesis, it's like it ends.
It's like they need to do, you know what? They need to do like Jason. They should just have Saw in space. And then it'll reset everything.
Actually, I just thought of what's a better example. Eddie and the Cruisers. Did you ever see that movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they did the second one?
Right. Eddie and the Cruisers. It's all about this rock and roll star.
Guy disappeared.
This kind of like Elvis type personality, but he dies young. Jim Morrison.
Right.
Okay. He's this up and coming rock star, and he drives his car off a bridge, never seen again. Everyone assumes he's dead, but there's this legend. They saw him in Canada. They saw him at Niagara Falls. You know, that, oh, my cousin's sister's buddy was on vacation and saw him at a gas station. Okay. So there's like this legend of whether or not Eddie is still alive. And then you get to the end of the movie, and the lady is doing her news story about him, and she gets done, and the camera like shifts its focus, and you were watching a TV in a storefront window, and as the focus shifts, you see the reflection of the guy watching the show in the store window. So Eddie is alive, and he watched this documentary about whether or not he's still alive, and he kind of smirks, and he walks off into the night, and that's how the movie ends.
Right.
So you have this sense of, like, holy crap, he was alive this entire time, and he faked his death, and he's going off.
I see what you're getting at.
And then they made a sequel. Yeah. And then the sequel is him putting together the crappiest, late 80s jazz rock sting
blues
wannabe
band.
Terrible.
Yeah.
And you're like, it killed everything.
Yeah.
Like, all of that, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he's alive. And then you watch the second one and you're like, this guy's life kind of sucks. You know? It's like, I don't want to think about the realities of trying to hide who you are.
Right.
You know, and having this secret that weighs you down. Just this whole idea of, oh crap, that entire time. And so Nemesis kind of ends with that same way. Not that, you know, Eddie Wilson is alive at the end of Nemesis, but right. Nemesis ends with kind of this, like, final page shocker, where you're like, oh, holy crap. Like, how does that work? I don't understand this. You know, I thought something had happened, and now there's something else staring me in the face. And I almost don't want there to be a sequel, because I don't want that explanation.
Right.
I don't want them to say, oh, well, the Nemesis got away with it last time because he did blah, 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 blah. You know, I want it to be like I'm just shocked. Like, I want my mind to try to figure it out until the day I die with no explanation as to why things happened.
Right.
You know? So I almost don't want there to ever be a sequel, because this, the way it stands, is almost perfect.
Right.
And so, you know, doing a sequel would just kind of tarnish that. But the story is, it is so well constructed.
This, like, is one of my favorite, I mean, I've read this probably four times now, at least.
Really? I've read the final issue like a dozen times.
Yeah.
Like, I just keep, every so often I pull it back out and I'm like, maybe it'll make more sense this time.
So this will be a fine trade, I'm sure.
It's also, one other thing that I want to point out is that you got a variant of issue one, but there are these blurbs on the front of every cover.
Right, the
standard
issues.
So it's like, number two, it's, crime is awesome and so am I.
Yeah.
And there's a picture of him saying they're defiant with all the riot guards coming at him. And then issue three, is that all you got? He's beat up, he's ripped, he's cut, right. He's covered in blood. He's got these giant chains on his arms that are chained to the concrete, bolted into the concrete. And he's just like, that's all you got? And then the final one is the
shootout.
It's Nemesis and Agent Morrow, and they're shooting each other, and, you know, all this dynamic action and everything. He's like, shoot straight, a-hole!
Yep.
You know, and it's just kind of...
Or bleep hole, you can put whatever you want.
Bleep
there.
Hole,
bleep.
Sure. So yeah, it's just one of those. I love those, that little touch of those things that he throws. And on the second prints, if you buy a second print or third print or whatever, it has a different phrase.
Oh,
so he thought up new ones every time it went back to press. So
did you read the newest Kick-Ass 2?
No, I haven't read Kick-Ass 2 number 2. I haven't read that yet.
Okay, 2-2.
Yeah.
2-2.
I've got my 2-2 sitting at home. Okay. But I haven't.
Yeah, I'm gonna put my 2-2 on, I think, after this.
But yeah, I've got it sitting there, ready to go.
So, recommend Nemesis?
Oh, Nemesis, definitely. Like, they haven't made any announcement that I'm aware of a trade.
Right.
I would assume one would have to be coming, you know? Just kind of one of those things. I'm sure it'll be like a $24.95 hardcover with character sketches.
Right,
and
yeah.
Behind the scenes. And that actually might be worth it to get all that extra stuff. But even if you just buy, like, the bare bones, or, you know, this is... I don't know if Marvel has a lot of stuff digital. They have their own app for Android and iTunes, and I know they sell stuff through Comixology.
Right.
If you get the Comixology app, you can download their stuff. I don't know if Nemesis has gone digital, because it's part of Icon. I don't know if the Icon stuff necessarily shows up as digital. But if it shows up as digital, and you know, I mean, the back issues, maybe they go for a lot of money now, I'm not sure exactly.
Right.
But if it shows up on digital, buy digital, if you have to. You know, I mean, just this is like Tumor. Like, this is a highest recommendation. Now, unlike Tumor, though, if you don't like foul language or the occasional booby or graphic violence, you might
uncomfortable, immoral acts.
Yeah, AIDS being used as a weapon.
Yeah,
you know, that's if things like that kind of rub you the wrong way, then you do kind of want to stay. But I mean,
but if you like guns, fast cars, crazy twists, uncomfortable scenarios. When I say uncomfortable, I mean like moral gray areas. No, beyond gray areas. They're just wicked.
This is, yeah.
Wicked, it's... wicked acts. But it, the storyline is well crafted.
Multi-layered.
I think it's Millar at his best.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing Superior right now, and I'm just kind of getting into Superior. I kind of faded away
from it. It's a little, it's, well, not a little different. It's completely different.
Right.
I mean, it's, whereas Kick-Ass and Nemesis, you can kind of see that familiar attitude in both of them. Superior is completely,
right,
a completely different vibe. So,
but of the three, I think Nemesis is my favorite.
Yeah, because so Kick-Ass, I mean,
Superior's not done. Kick-Ass is now in two.
Part two. Kick-Ass is also one of those things where they changed some of the stuff when they made the movie, because they said for the sake of, you know, being a movie, we need to do this, that, whatever.
You mean the jetpack and the rocket launcher wasn't in the comic book?
I kind of like some of the changes the movie did.
You like the jetpack and the rocket?
No, not necessarily that stuff, but just some of the stuff, the way Hit Girl coped with her dad's...
Big Daddy.
Death, you know, differently. And the way...
the ending, how she...
And in the comic, the girlfriend doesn't like him anymore.
Right.
Whereas in the movie, he's still got
she's
the girl
all over
and everything.
Yeah.
And I kind of liked those changes a little bit more. And it kind of throws me off to go back to the comic and be like, oh, right, things are a little different in this one. But still, you know, Kick-Ass either way is pretty good. But I think I like Nemesis more than Kick-Ass.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Nemesis is my favorite.
I mean, Kick-Ass, of course, that's a big one because it made the movie. But Nemesis, I think, is definitely it's a much bolder tale.
Right. Nemesis came after Kick-Ass.
Right.
And for me...
I don't think Nemesis could ever be made into a movie.
No.
Unless they really watered it down in a lot of spots.
They'd have to change.
Because, I mean, there would be... Everybody would pick it. This movie.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? I think only...
Cheers.
I think only villains for a better villainy would be happy with it, but everyone else would pick it the movie. So, all right, there you go. So, it's 11:42 p.m.
Yeah.
You look like you're ready to pass out.
Yeah, I think I'm still getting over this cold.
You're just staring off like...
I'm totally into it. It's just... My head. I don't know if you could notice, but since the beginning of the podcast, I feel like I'm talking in a wind tunnel. But this damn weather.
Take that fishbowl off your head.
Well, I'm trying. It won't come off.
All right. Well, I'm going to finish up my PBR, and then I'm going to...
Okay. And thank you for joining us, folks. We appreciate all you listeners out there.
Don't forget, folks, if you want to get a hold of us, you can always come to ineedcomics.com, part of the Pop Culture Network. You can shoot me an email, dirt@popculturenetwork.com. Also, we have our 24-hour voicemail line. Never have to talk to a human being. Just call us at area code 217-953-4025. You can leave us a voicemail there. You can find me on Skype under the username dirtmound. Also, don't forget to check out the forums at the Pop Culture Network. Those are part of ConForums. And so even if our site goes down, you can still find our forums because our site happens to be unstable from time to time. But don't forget to check out the rest of the great stuff at the Pop Culture Network. We have podcasts such as Wrestling Radio, It Figures, the Toy and Action Figure Podcast, Masters of the Universe Chronicles. There is the Caption Box. Rob Bass out of New York City does a podcast about comics that way. He also does Comic Nation TV. We also have, of course, That New Toy Smell TV show, Comaholics, that you're listening to now. You can check out the back episodes of that. So there's lots of content and information and groovy stuff you can find, along with, if you want just the comic stuff, you can come to ineedcomics.com. If you want to check out the rest of the Pop Culture Network, then you just go to popculturenetwork.com. How was that for my
that was fantastic.
At the end. I've said it once or twice before. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm going to finish my beer, blow my nose, and I'm going to head home.
Scratch it, but don't sniff it.
Word.
What it is, friends. Sween Holic here, inviting you to join me every Monday for Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk. What's that, you ask? Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk is my weekly video series in which we take a look at my favorite toy line of yesteryear, Vintage Playmates Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. If you're a green teen goer, I'm betting you'll have a great time getting reacquainted with old friends or meeting new ones for the first time. That's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Sock at www.radicalretro.com, part of the Pop Culture Network.